New baseball for Cody Greenhill. Peers in, gets his sign, comes to the stretch. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Blind drive to Woolley. The ball game is over. 2 years ago, the season ended in Tallahassee. Last year in Gainesville. This year, the season will end in Omaha, Nebraska. A dog pile in Chapel Hill. Auburn 14, North Carolina 7. The Tigers are headed to the College World Series.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 8:39 p.m. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeofmagnolia.com. I am Son of Crow, Son of Crow 2 on Twitter. We're going to go ahead and turn the reverb down. There we go. To one side of me is the guy who wants the reverb all the way up, amateur statistician Ryan Starrett.
How about another song, Crow?
Oh, just you wait, Henry Higgins. To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, is a man who wishes I was doing this in robot voice, AU Chief.
Hello. No English this week.
Good evening. Tonight on the podcast, we've got so many great things. But the first great thing we've got is Mr. Drew McCracken. Drew, can you read me?
I hear you loud and clear, Drew, and greetings, salutations, and war eagles all around.
Oh, the magic of the internet. I have to thank Tim Cook and whoever else. Steve, what was the guy's name from Microsoft? Steve something? Bill Gates?
Steve Bill Gates.
Wozniak.
Steve Jobs, I think it's, yeah, Wozniak.
Mark Brandanowitz. Yep. No, wait, that's a different guy. It's a Parks and Rec.
Brandanowitz.
Parks and Rec cut. Anyway, thanks, Internet. Drew, what did we see happen today?
I mean, where do I begin? You saw a bludgeoning. You got to see a team really get the ball rolling early, and sure, you let up. I know that you'll have some... across the staters say, well, you only scored one run after scoring 13. But yeah, that will happen. The air is let out of the ball.
You only needed 8 to win.
Yeah, you only needed 8 to win.
That's a tubber shot.
Exactly. This was race out to a huge lead at the beginning and then just let your pitching take over, which is exactly what happened.
I would ask them how many runs their team scored in the Super Regionals.
Exactly. In fact, you could ask that of a couple of SEC teams that think that they're a little bit better than they are, namely looking at ULSU. but no, going back to Auburn, you know, we were talking about this before the podcast a little bit. A lot of people will say, well, it was just a bad start from the Carolina starter and that kind of ruined everything. You could go that route, but let's take those 4 walks and 4 runs off the board from Auburn in the first. Auburn still had 9 runs on 9 hits, which is still one of the most productive innings Auburn's had all year. In fact, the 13 runs in the first is the most to open a game, I believe I'm saying this right, according to Scott Scroggins, since 2000 when Auburn played Mercer in a 19-4 whipping. And that was Mercer.
It's almost like we took these other performances from this postseason and just kind of flipped it on its head and decided to go ahead and get it all out of the way.
Auburn definitely did ESPN no favors, much like Arkansas did a little bit later on, except they just extended it throughout the entire game. But there was little drama here on Go Home or Championship Monday, if you will, for the final 2 spots in the College World Series.
So talk a little bit about what it looks like, what the field in the College World Series looks like. And it's crazy to even say that. Like, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, or about a month ago, we were doing a podcast from Plainsman Parking Lot.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody standing there, me, Chief, Ryan, Will McLaughlin, yeah, Ives himself, we were talking about, like, what this team had to do to get into the NCAA tournament. much less like even get as far as they are. It's crazy to think about that team, the same team we watched, and they were getting shelled by somebody.
Georgia Tech.
Yep. I believe it was Georgia Tech, yeah.
That team would be where we're at now in the College World Series. Talk about a little about that and, like, and I'm doing the classic reporter talk about question. It's not really a question.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And tell us, I know that you've been saying this is next year is the year. So tell us what we can expect.
Yeah, what's next year going to be?
What's next year going to be? We've made the home. We made it to Omaha.
Gosh. To take you back, even, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. Let's see if I can find out the date. I don't have it right off the top of my head, but we'll just go with this. The final home game of the year was against North Alabama. Auburn had to go to extra innings to beat the Lions of North Alabama. And sure, that's a midweek game, so you've got your fourth or fifth best starter. It was a short week as you got ready for LSU. But this is a team that got swept by Vanderbilt, or this was a team that got swept by Vanderbilt, that barely escaped Georgia with a win at home, that needed to go to extra innings on the last day of the season to win a game at LSU that probably clinched a spot in the NCAA tournament. That a lot of people like to say the Tennessee win was the one that pushed them to a 2 seed in Atlanta, because they were more than likely going to be sent out to Corvallis, Oregon, as the two or three seed out there, which was more just like getting shoved away. But the win over Tennessee, bouncing back after the Vanderbilt game in the SEC tournament, the LSU game in the SEC tournament, something happened over that week, and it was a tumultuous week as we look back and remember. But you're seeing a team that's been through the fights, that really did go through the toughest schedule in the country, period, bar none, going on the road to UCF at the beginning of the season and getting 2 out of 3, getting a home series win over Ole Miss. You're looking at a team that's finally gelled together, finally believes in each other, trusts in each other enough to put runs up on the board. And the Stephen Williams walk-off winner against Georgia Tech is just another example of how this team sort of has started to believe in itself again, much like they did last year about this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, but much like they did last year when Auburn went up to Raleigh and just steamrolled through that regional and then got the win. I really do believe that if Florida had not hit the home run in the Super Regional, Auburn was going to score in that next inning. Do they hold on from there? I don't know, but I really do believe that Auburn was building the momentum to beat Florida to go to Omaha last year. But this team, I can remember, I know I've been saying next year, but I also did say that at the beginning of the season, this team has a chance to be really, really good. I also thought that Davis Daniel and Tanner Burns and Jack Owen were going to be 3 starters throughout the year, and we're going to be those arms that Auburn could rely on. And you get the production from Edwide Julian, Stephen Williams, Will Holland, and you've also seen those guys start to pick it up. So that's been the real big difference. The offense has been able to step up and give the pitching staff what it needs, a couple of runs. Just today, it ended up being 13 in the first.
Hey, Drew, you were talking about the schedule being so hard for Auburn this year. I mean, that really kind of shows up in, you know, there being 4 SEC teams in the last 8 in the College World Series field. How crazy is that? You know, with Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Auburn, Arkansas. And I think that really shows that we did play, you know, everybody.
It's the most any conference has ever had in the field at Omaha, period. No team has ever gotten this many in. The only reason why Louisville is there, I'll just kind of tongue-in-cheek say this, the only reason why Louisville is there and not another SEC team is because in both of those brackets, there were no SEC teams in East Carolina or in Louisville. Otherwise, it would have been 4 out of 4 for this side of the bracket. It's an absolute testament to how tough this conference is. I can remember before, just in talking with people, whenever they would find out that I was a college baseball guy and everything, they would ask, you know, well, how's the SEC in baseball? Well, it's tougher in college. It's tougher in SEC baseball than it is in SEC football. Period. I have been saying that for about 5 to 10 years now since Vanderbilt became good. LSU's always been good since Florida's finally gotten their act together with Kevin O'Sullivan. This is the toughest conference.
South Carolina won a title 1 year ago.
Back to back, 2010, 2011.
And you're talking about a conference that's like, well, I mean, we've talked about this before, is that there's very few conferences who have figured out that you can actually make money on this sport, mm-hmm. and the SEC might be the only one that has. And so it's obvious that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, no, and you're not wrong at all. The ACC's close to figuring it out. Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, as we saw this weekend, Bossemer Stadium is a beautiful, beautiful ballpark to watch a game in. NC State's just right there on that cusp of being really, really
good. Miami used to be good, right?
is a traditional power. They've finally gotten their act together under their second year head coach.
Georgia Tech as well.
Georgia Tech's finally having a resurge. So you're seeing a lot of these resurgent teams finally figuring it back out, especially in the ACC. But in the SEC, as you saw this year, Missouri got left out, and they were a top 25 team for most of the year. The only reason why I think they got left out is because they got swept at home in the last series of the year by Florida. Otherwise, they're in.
Drew, people call college football a regional sport, but I actually heard the other day that since Ohio State won the College World Series, which was like a long time ago, I think the 80s, no team from the north, from north of the Mason-Dixon mm-hmm. line, or no team from the north or not California, has won.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a team from California or the Southeast or Texas, basically, every year.
You're either going to be from the Pac-12 or from the South. Oregon State won it last year, so you're going to have a couple of those West Coast teams, if you will, just throw right. that whole
it's
area.
It's the West Coast, won. It's the South. And the Big Ten yeah. teams don't compete.
Well, if you look back, this is Michigan's also in the field as they beat Oregon State, beat UCLA, beat Oregon State and UCLA to make it to Omaha. It's their first trip since a guy named Barry Larkin was wow. playing in the infield for the Wolverines. So
remember him playing in backyard baseball?
That's long enough ago that I know that name from Major League Baseball.
Exactly. So if you go back and look at some of those highlights of Barry Larkin running around Rosenblatt Stadium, it is awesome to look at. So you really don't see a lot of Big Ten teams. I'm trying to remember. I guess it would be Nebraska back when they were in the Big 12, but technically they're in the Big 10 now.
Right.
That would be the last team that I can just off the top of my head remember making it. I know Indiana's had a couple of good teams, but no, you really, Louisville is about as north as you can go with teams making it from above the Tennessee-Kentucky line or North Carolina line, maybe Virginia if you want to throw them in there, as they had a couple of good teams a few years ago. But no, that to have Michigan in the field is a very big rarity as we get set to start the College World Series on Saturday.
So we got Mississippi State. That's right.
That is correct. Auburn will play Mississippi State at some point. We don't have a time yet. Times have not been revealed. I would guess. If I'm looking at TV and time and everything like that, I would put my money on Auburn playing Sunday at 2. But I could be wrong, and they might put us on the very first game of the weekend because they mixed up the schedules a little bit. Because with Vanderbilt being the highest seeded team remaining now that UCLA is gone. And I personally thought that Vanderbilt was the team to beat from right. the beginning. I would think that they would want Vanderbilt in the prime time, especially since they're playing a seventh-seeded Louisville team, which will be a very good ball game. But going back to Auburn and Mississippi State, I would expect Auburn to be the afternoon game on either Saturday or Sunday. I would put my money on Sunday. but not a whole lot. I wouldn't put my Omaha money on it. But Auburn should expect to see Ethan Small, who they have seen before and ended up getting a win over in a game that Tanner Burns started at way back the second weekend of SEC play. And I think Auburn is going to counter with Jack Owen. I think Auburn likes Jack Owen there. And plus, a little added advantage for Auburn, Mississippi State hasn't seen him yet. Jack sat out that weekend. That was the first weekend that he missed because of his forearm tightness after the Tennessee game. So Auburn has the added advantage of you haven't seen this guy ever. Or at least seen him live. Everybody's got video and breakdown and scouting. So the Mississippi State guys who, as we remember, with that Sunday game that ended up, I think it was 20-15 or 18-15, something insane. They do have the power. They've got the at bats. They've got the live bats. They've got the SEC's leading hitter of all time. They've got Rowdy Jordan. They've got Elijah McNamee. They've got Rowdy Jordan, all those guys. And then they've also got Ethan Small that they can throw out there, who is a top 10 round draft pick. So it's going to be a tall task for Auburn. But I mean, really and truly, at this point, can you doubt this team?
No, not at all. They get those camo hats on. They're ready to go.
Yeah, Chief. Absolutely.
Drew, for the listeners out there that might not follow baseball,
recent Auburn baseball fans,
maybe have never watched a College World Series, can you tell everybody about the format?
Oops.
Sure. And let me preface this by saying, should Auburn go out there and go 0-2, that is not a terrible thing. Think of this more, if you're into NASCAR, think of this more as the reward. Sure, the reward is a national championship, and that's the goal, and that's what Coach Thompson and the guys are going to go after, but without question, especially now. There's nothing to hold back for. But the reward is getting to Omaha. There are 297 teams in college baseball. Auburn is one of eight still playing. And that's for this program, for this staff, for these players, for the recruits, for the recruiting that it's going to do, like we've seen with Coach Pearl in the Final Four run. It's going to do wonders for the recruiting for Auburn baseball. But going back to your original question, the format is basically, think of it as just another regional. There's an A and a B bracket, four teams in each pod, if you will. You won't see any of the other four teams until the championship series. You're only worried about your four. So Auburn is only worried about Mississippi State, Louisville, and Vanderbilt. Sure, that's a bunch to worry about, but that's all they're worried about.
Vanderbilt might be the best team in the country still. Like it's
No, they are.
This is probably still Vanderbilt's world where everybody else is just living in.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. They haven't seen this version of the Auburn Tigers, but you're absolutely right.
To get no hit by Tracy Rocker's son.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that he saved that for Duke and didn't do that against us a few weeks ago. I would have been very sad to see that, but no, Auburn. To be honest, looking at the other teams, everybody's as healthy as they can be. I mentioned a little bit earlier to you guys before the podcast, Louisville will be without their All-American closer, all-world athlete who was thrown out of the championship game of a regional for kind of arguing balls and strikes.
Yeah, I saw that. That made me mad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was definitely to excuse my language, but a butthurt umpire.
That was a lot of Major League Baseball things I don't like creeping into college baseball.
You're absolutely right. No, that there are a lot of people that are rubbed the wrong way in the game by that, in the college game especially by that, but. The rule is that if you get tossed out of a game, it's a start for a position player and a four-game suspension for a pitcher.
So red card. So you miss your next, you miss this game and the next game.
Correct. And that 4-game suspension is supposed to be for starting pitch for pitchers, because that's supposed to be one start.
Right.
But this is no starting pitcher. This was your all-world closer. Luckily for Louisville, they didn't need him because they, I think, outscored East Carolina like 22-4 in their super regional. So they really didn't need, including a no-hit bid that went into the top of the ninth or bottom of the ninth against the Pirates this past weekend. So they aren't really hurting for pitching, but that is something to keep in mind should Louisville get a lead late and need somebody to close it down. They might not have that guy that they've been relying on in the first two games, which Auburn may very well see them. You know, because it will be double elimination. So Auburn will get Mississippi State and then either the winner or the loser of the Vanderbilt-Louisville game.
All right, Drew. Thanks so much. I wrapped it up, put a bow on it.
Sure thing.
Man, what an exciting spring for Auburn sports. You had a Final Four in basketball, and now this Final Four, or Final Elite Eight, basically, mm-hmm. in baseball. First time since 97. Ryan, how old were you in 1997?
This many.
Two?
Holding up two fingers, guys.
Man, wow.
I was headed into eighth grade.
Yeah, I was oldest probably playing college World Series. No.
I was about to say, I think I was starting, I was getting set to start my eighth grade year that summer. So I do vividly remember watching Huddy and the guys play and beat Rice like a drum in game one out in Omaha. So it will definitely be good now after knowing everything about it and now really able to understand what's happening with Auburn baseball.
That was back when Rice was good at baseball.
Exactly.
I was actually inside.
That was way back in the day.
Time.
That was been a couple of years. Anyway, Drew, thanks so much for coming on the pod.
Sure thing, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good friend of the pod, Drew McCracken. The best in the business. There is, besides Kevin Ives, Drew McCracken might know more about Auburn baseball than anybody else. And so it's always good to have him on talk about something like this. We talked about this before the pod. The three of us are not qualified to talk about Auburn baseball whatsoever. As much as we love Auburn sports, and
I know a little, and it's not enough to talk about.
I mean,
aren't you talking to your Coors a little bit more, Terry Chief?
There's only so much my sports brain can handle, and Auburn baseball, as much as I love Auburn, at times I'll admit it's been
Carla, I think you have the space where it could be Auburn baseball. You filled that with cycling instead.
Speaking of which, Ryan Starrett, nice segue into Drew has a game. Crow has a game.
So this one's called Crow Knows.
Crow Knows. I like this.
Crow Knows?
Crow has a game, could be. Crow got game. We're going to go through a list. I got a list of 10 names. It's Ryan versus Chief. All right? This is how this game's going to work. Ryan versus Chief. I'm going to name a person.
Okay.
We're going to flip a coin. Actually, I don't think I have a coin. So we're going to go ones versus twos to see who goes first, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to say one, two, three. When I get to three, you guys throw out a one or a two. I'll have one behind my back, and we'll see what I throw. Whoever has the same as me goes first.
Why don't we play rock, paper, scissors for it?
Okay, our rock, paper, scissors is good. It's an audio podcast.
I could just let seniority go first.
Oh, great. Chief, you get to go first. Ryan is not a Georgia Tech fan. Not going to be upset about Chief being the home team in this.
Well, that would be
Ryan. I'm a Mississippi State fan, right?
Right. It's true.
Wait a second. That makes Ryan the home team. He has Ryan is the home team. Advantage over
him. All right, so we're going to do LSU Tiger football player.
Oh, I thought we were doing Arkansas.
Well, shoot, Arkansas Razorback. Arkansas Razorback, are they hogs or are they professional road cyclists? So I'm going to read a name, and you're going to guess. Does that person play for the team that finished dead last in the SEC last year in football? Or does that person make his living riding a bike up mountains in Europe? Okay, Chief, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to go with an easy one. All right, and if Chief gets it wrong, obviously,
it goes to
Ryan.
It doesn't. this does is, go to him, because if I get it wrong, he...
Oh, I guess it's 50% right. Yeah. Well, if you pass, okay, you can go, well, I'll pass, okay, and then we'll go double or nothing.
Hand it off to me. Okay.
We'll hand it off.
Are you keeping score on this?
Yeah, of course I am.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll give, they're going to get harder as we go.
You know, I think we need Sarah to, you know, help us out with score.
No, you don't need to. Sarah doesn't want to be involved with this.
Shaking her head.
All right, so starting out really easily, Chief. Julian Alaphilippe. Is that it? Professional cyclist or a member of the Arkansas Razorbacks football team?
You say easy. Chief says not so fast.
I'm gonna say cyclist.
Correct. That is Julian Alaphilippe, number one in the world rankings currently.
It wasn't as easy as I thought.
Julian Alaphilippe from France on Team De Koninck Quick Step. Frenchman riding on a Belgian team. So,
traitor.
Now, Ryan, similarly easily. Chris Froome, is he a professional cyclist or is he a member of the Arkansas Razorbacks? Chris Froome.
Let's say he's an Arkansas Razorback.
No, Chris Froome is a three-time Tour de France champion.
It's harder than I thought it was.
All right, so far
it's going to get harder for me?
It's going to get harder for me.
It can't get harder than
me. I mean, Chris Froome is the most famous professional cyclist currently going at the moment. He's won three tours.
Wait, Lance Armstrong's not still on the tour?
He's not still riding. All right.
So these are easy for people that follow cycling.
People that have watched television in the summertime, this should be fairly easy. All right.
I feel like you just asked me, yeah, do you know who Tiger Woods is?
If I were to say, right, that's kind of like, it's kind of like that. Actually, Chris Froome would probably be more like Rory McIlroy. Maybe a person who doesn't watch a lot of golf knows who that is. I don't know.
Who?
Rafael Nadal? You know he plays tennis, right?
Yeah, okay. I think.
Chibuzi Nwana. Chief Chibuzi,
Arkansas Razorback.
Correct. That's the Arkansas Razorback from Hyattsville, Maryland. He's a junior offensive lineman from Northwestern High School.
He that name sounds very African in origin.
Correct.
And
it does. So you're not thinking a lot of Africans on the tour?
Yeah, are there a couple of Africans?
Yeah, but you got to remember, you know, France had a lot of colonial sway in Africa.
That's true.
They have a lot of, if you look at their men's soccer team, they have a lot of people of Africans.
So currently we've got a 2-0 Chief Lee.
Getting bounced.
All right.
So hope he doesn't get a 13.
Yeah, well.
Remember, we're doing 10 names.
I've only done 5 each?
5 each,
yeah. Okay. Oh, uh-oh.
Michael Matthews, is that an Arkansas Razorback or is that a member of
see, this
the
is a trick question.
UCI
he was in my freshman chem lab. I know him.
That's two people.
Michael Matthews.
Cyclist.
Correct.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's an Australian team Sunweb. He's currently the 9th ranked cyclist in the world on the UCI rankings, which are kind of bogus, but.
Okay.
And who ranks? I don't rank. That's stupid. It's like the FIFA rankings. They don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, they say where you're seated.
I know. All right, here we go. Michael Kwiatkowski. Michael Kwiatkowski.
Sounds Polish.
It does sound Polish.
That's tough. Arkansas Razorback.
No, he's a professional cyclist. Team Sky. Or now like Team Ineos. So now, we're sitting here at 2-1 still.
Yeah, not out yet.
Ryan has a chance to tie it back up.
Tie it up in the third round.
Peyton Owsley. Or maybe Owsley. Peyton Owsley.
Can you spell it for me?
Owsley? A-U-S-L-E-Y. Owsley?
Let's go cyclist.
No, he's Arkansas Razorback. He's tied in from Austin, Texas. From Austin Vandergrift High School.
When you said Owsley.
Right now, you know what's funny? It's like Nerd would be listening to this going, knowing all of the Razorbacks. He's like, that was like a 2-star out of high school. I know him. His spark score. No, his spark score.
Spark score.
All right. Chief,
yes.
For an insurmountable 3-2 lead.
This is for a dormy.
What does that
it's
mean?
It's 2-1.
It is 2-1, that's true.
So if he gets this, then he has to miss the rest and I have to win out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But maybe an intermountable. Drew? No,
well,
no.
It's golf term.
Ryan, it's either Winkel or Winkle. W-I-N-K-E-L. Ryan.
You have to tell me which it is so that I know.
I don't know.
Then he's an Arkansas Razorback.
He's an Arkansas Razorback. Dang it. That was too good of a...
You tried to throw him off giving him a German-sounding name.
Well, he's an offensive lineman, redshirt freshman from Memphis, Tennessee, Christian Brothers High School. Ryan, we hope you do great, except for not against 6'6", 286, big old boy.
Man. I'd love to see him cycling.
Not a cyclist. Yeah. All right, so we have 3-1, so Ryan has to get the rest of these correct.
To tie.
Adam Yates. Is that a professional road cyclist, or is that an Arkansas
I just keep guessing Razorback? I might get there.
You have a 50-50 chance.
Do I?
Well, seems like it.
Arkansas Razorback.
That is a road cyclist.
Oh, man.
He has a twin brother named Simon Yates. Simon's the better of the Yates.
That's tough. Is he Scottish?
You gave me a lot of neutral
Adam
English
Yates is from
names.
Great Britain. Oh, yeah. If I give you Miguel Angel Lopez Moreno, you're not going to go, hey, that's an Arkansas Razorback. Probably a Colombian cyclist, which is what he is.
All right. Colombian cyclists?
A lot of Colombian cyclists. Good climbers.
From Colombia?
A lot of mountains in Colombia.
Huh. A lot of rivers there, too.
It's true.
A lot of tropical fish come from there. I don't know if you know I'm a tropical fish hobbyist.
No way! Yeah. Do you own tropical fish?
Yeah.
How many tropical fish does Chief own? I'll have to change the pod intro.
Quite a bit.
Oh!
Too many to count.
Okay, let's finish this. A man who owns quite
a bit. No, you've already won, Chief.
Man who owns...
You know who else is from
tropical fish?
You know who's from Omaha, Nebraska?
Who's that?
311.
Chief's favorite band.
Are they opening for the College World Series?
Oh, I hope.
They should. They should be the house band. Remember when Major League Baseball would make a house band at the All-Star game?
Yeah.
And it would be like Smash Mouth. It was actually, I think that's the only one I remember is Smash Mouth.
Yeah, I have a lot of tropical fish.
Do they have any names?
Brag.
No, I don't really have them named.
Sort of trip fish do you own? This is now cichlids, what this podcast is about.
They're not African cichlids, which is what a lot of people think of cichlids, minor South American, or Central American, actually. I have some Nicaraguan cichlids, a pair of those. I've been trying to get them to breed for
those are good cichlids, man.
A couple of years. They're pretty cool looking. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Can't say I have, Chief.
And then I have some Septum fasciatum.
Okay.
And
I don't know what that is.
That's a cyclist.
Yeah.
I know that one.
Yeah.
They come, all these come from Costa Rica and Nicaragua, the ones that I have. And then I have a bunch of, or some others in another tank.
That's awesome. Saltwater tank, obviously.
Yep.
No, freshwater tank.
This is all freshwater.
So you have tropical freshwater fish.
Yep.
Wow. So right now there's somebody listening to this going, duh, Crow. Obviously it's freshwater fish. Guy doesn't know a cichlid from a cyclist.
Yeah.
You would have gotten Tebow Pino as a cyclist.
I've got some fish I need to get rid
of. If you had said LSU, I would have guessed LSU.
I almost did LSU versus cyclists.
I know, there would have been tough.
A lot of those. That
would have been tough.
Yeah.
This was tough. This was tougher than I
expected. Well, that was Crow has a game. Chief wins the inaugural Crow has a game.
We might have to try another round of this with other sports in the coming weeks.
Like professional team handball player or like member of Atlanta United.
Well, handball players, we might know them from being around Auburn.
That's true.
Yeah.
Guys, we had something else we wanted to talk about this evening, and it was football recruiting. As you guys know, I care so much about it, but we have a pretty nice little breakdown of the top 100 all-time football recruits by Auburn. And that was Ryan's idea, and I think it's gone really well. Yeah,
Mr. Starry.
Yeah, I fell a little behind. I'm still trying to play catch up.
Well, we had a tragedy, a death in the family.
We did. So we are through number 86, I believe, today was. Anthony Schwartz also had Cam Newton, number 87.
It's pretty wild.
Cam Newton was the number 87 recruit all time.
I was going to say, it's pretty wild that Anthony Schwartz is that high. I mean, I love Anthony Schwartz.
Yeah.
But we've gone through some pretty, like, for instance, Greg Smith, the article I wrote, I would have thought he was the number one recruit in the history of Auburn, the way that it was handled. Like, Ryan... You do not understand what the Greg Smith era of football recruiting was like. There were no videos, or very little.
Yeah.
It was, if they put it on Scout or Rivals, that's the only video you got. So a guy had to actually
There was no huddle.
Yeah, no one was filming their own huddle profiles.
Coaches were helping players compile their own VHS tapes and sending them to coaches.
Yeah, mailing them. Yeah.
Mailing them.
Jeez.
It was a wild time. And
no smartphones?
What? No smartphones. And something happened with this guy where I think a photo got out of him, or maybe like a clip of a couple of plays of him just wrecking some junior college kid. And
from everything you've told me, he sounds like the defensive line version of Michael Oher, but like in The Blind Side, where he's just pushing people into the
Yeah, stands. Exactly. And
like pushing some poor little 150 pounds.
You're talking about stands. A guy who might have weighed 400 pounds, like in like a legit 400 at one point. And was like 6'5", and like, not anyone that tall, like 6'3". And like the only quotes you'd hear is like Kenny Irons saying he's super athletic, but it's hard for him to get through a door. Like I remember Kenny Irons saying that. And like, yeah, so back then people are looking at this like, this guy's the end all be all of football recruiting, and Auburn's going to have Vince Wilfork basically on his defensive line for the next 3 years.
He probably didn't look as good in overalls as Wilfork did though.
Vince Wilfork's a good comp for this guy because that's kind of his body type, just giant and square. He was a square person. So, but Auburn signed some recruits, right? Or not signed.
Not signed. Yeah, we had a couple of commits. So, Big Cat Weekend was last week, not this past weekend. And
we talked a little bit about that last week.
Yeah, so we had a wide receiver commit and offensive lineman do the air horn sirens for that. Tate Johnson today.
J.G. Tate Johnson.
J.G. Tate Johnson, as we've been calling him. He's only a three-star, but he's one of those borderline three or four-star guys. And honestly, Auburn just needs bodies.
Yeah, I don't care about stars in the offensive line.
I think we've got four guys in this class right now, and they're probably going to keep adding a couple more.
Let's hope. But we're just going to sign all linemen and wide receivers.
Yeah, let's do it. Apparently, we can never have enough wide receivers.
We can.
Apparently not.
After signing, four last year, we've got another
four.
Another four in this class, I think. I think that's like the baseball strategy of just drafting a lot of shortstops because you know they're the most athletic person they can play somewhere else.
Just throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of like Tubbs' old recruit-only dude who played quarterback in high school. Like he would sign 10 guys a class that played quarterback in
Gus
high school.
Gus has done that a lot too, though.
And just figure out where you're going to play.
Yeah. Even Movie played quarterback. Yeah.
Ryan Smith, Ryan White.
A lot of Ryans.
Tubbs towards the end was obsessed with signing athletes.
Yeah.
That was his...
Honestly, he was a little ahead of the game with that. Because it seemed like, you know, when Chizik and Gus got here, that's what the classes were.
Yeah.
You mean you got senatorial candidate, Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah. Of course.
Oh, yeah. Future Alabama senator.
That's how I'm going to refer to him.
Let's not...
Golly bum. Anybody is qualified. Everybody is qualified to be a... What a country. Literally everyone is qualified to be a senator in this country.
Well,
everyone and anybody, as long as you have the money. Political talk over. Guys, I can't get over the fact that we scored 13 runs in the first inning against North Carolina.
That's pretty wild.
We scored more points or more runs in the first inning against North Carolina than Bryce did against North Carolina.
It's unbelievable.
Didn't quite get to chewing numbers.
I just cackled like a maniac. My wife, when she got home, or no, my mom was there. Sorry. My mom was there with my son in a different room, and I was watching, and I just started cackling, and she was very confused by that.
At one point, it was just a parade.
It was much like the Kansas game in the NCAA tournament basketball, where I just laughed. Like, it was just so absurd.
Yeah, when Auburn went up, I think... 3-0. I kind of had to set my headphones down, had to go talk to my boss about something this afternoon. Came back 10 minutes later, and we were still batting.
Yep. I think I was driving at one point, listening to it, came home, turned it on, did something else, came back, checked it again. And the first inning's still going on. I think the first inning lasted an hour.
Yeah, it's almost like they looked at the
game. Oh, it was a 56-minute first inning.
It's like they looked at the game yesterday and said, oh, North Carolina put up 2 in the first yesterday. It was like a 30-minute first inning.
Double it. So before I listened to the pregame, actually, as you two know, I turned on the TuneIn app about an hour before the game, and I was listening to the 2004 Auburn-Tennessee game, regular season Tennessee game, which was just an absolute joy.
Were they just playing that today?
Yeah, they do that. They'll just play
it's
all
Auburn
games.
Network.
Gotcha.
It's the Auburn Network's TuneIn. So, it was just crazy, some of the names I was hearing. Monte Pitts, Josh Thompson, Stump.
There was a time, Ryan, where more than one Auburn football player either left the team or immediately following being on the team had a rap career. And Monte Pitts was one of those guys.
Robert Dunn was another one.
Robert Dunn.
Only one is an assistant coach now.
Yeah, exactly. T. Will.
It's true. But
okay.
So then I was listening to the pregame, and Andy interviewed Butch, not right before the game. Obviously, it was pre-recorded.
Right.
Asking him, you know, what are the keys to the game, and he basically said, "We want to score early. We want to put put up a few runs in the first inning." Wow. So when that was happening, that's all that was going through my head. I was like, well,
13, that's what he wanted.
Great strategy, Butch.
I don't know what Butch Thompson sounds like, but I imagine it's like, we want to put up about 13 runs in this first inning.
No.
That sounds like a bad Gus impersonation.
Yeah, that does sound like a Gus.
It's a bad Gus. He's,
but his name's Butch Thompson.
I mean, he's from Alabama, so he sounds like he's from Alabama, but he sounds like he's from Birmingham.
Oh,
yeah. So
he doesn't sound like he's from Op.
Doesn't sound like he's from Fort Payne either.
Right. You got to pay extra for that.
Yeah. Chief, you're talking about the radio call today, though.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, man.
It was, you know, being at work, I couldn't really have the game up to watch it. So I listened to it on the headphones. And Paul and Andy did a really good job. Yeah. I enjoyed listening to them and all their homerness. It was a lot of fun. Every inside strike call that Auburn didn't get because UNC flinched at. Andy was just beside himself.
At one point, Ryan in our group chat was like, Andy is incredulous over the where Julian may have been hit, but probably wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, no, not Andy.
And then, you know, at the end of the game, getting to hear them call the, you know, Auburn's going to Omaha.
So good.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was a great call.
It was emotional.
I feel good for those guys because you know how close they were to Rod.
Yeah,
like, right. What it means to them.
For sure. It was really
cool. A sweet thing. It's a bittersweet thing, but it's still a sweet thing. Like, it's the first sporting event to take place after losing that guy, to be his favorite sport, and for them to get to a place they haven't been since 97.
Yeah. He was doing the games, by the way.
Which I think was like his first.
Right. Yeah, he'd been like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
For him, them to do that is such a fitting tribute to him. And what he meant, and kind of a great way for everybody to kind of go, yeah, this is our last, this is Rod's last ride.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been
poetic.
Cool to see. It doesn't feel like when things happen like this, a lot of times there tends to be this ESPNification of things, like where they would like play a tribute before, like, and we really, other than the helmet stickers that we had, and you know, obviously
the TV broadcast isn't touching on it, but
it hasn't really been shoved in people's faces, and I think Rod would also appreciate that.
Yeah.
So that's been nice to see.
I wonder if some of that's because doesn't Fox own the audio?
Probably.
Yeah. Maybe if ESPN may not want to chill out for a bunch of audio clips.
I don't even know if it's that.
If I had to guess, Auburn has told them we don't want
to don't do make it all about this.
Yeah. But
don't
then
don't
again, Butch says something about it every time that
exactly
asked about it.
And like, I mean, if it was college football, Tom Rinaldi, you know Tom Rinaldi's gonna show up on campus next year. And the piano's gonna come on and Tom Rinaldi's gonna talk about overcoming adversity and pain and loss and sorrow. Tom Rinaldi is like John Paul Sartre, like everything is just horrible. But except unlike Sartre, there's redemption or some sort of hope.
Yeah.
In Tom Rinaldi's stories.
Yeah, it's true.
Ryan, John Paul Sartre was a 20th century French existential philosopher / playwright.
Sad man.
The ultimate French person.
Go matter, Rod, though. I mean, because he is the radio guy, play by play. He doesn't have that connection with the players as far as, like, this isn't driving the players. Like,
I think he does a little bit more with baseball and basketball than he does with football.
But I don't know. I would hate for the narrative to be, oh, they're just playing hard for Rod.
Right.
And because, like you said, Rod wouldn't want that. That's not what these guys are doing. I mean, they're going to the College World Series because they've worked their whole lives for it.
Right.
And basketball,
Butch has been a little more emotional about it because I imagine he dealt with Rod a lot more. And that's why you kind of hear him mention it quite a bit in the interviews. But
just like basketball, this team is clicking on all the right cylinders at the right time.
And when you decide championships by virtue of single or double elimination tournaments, it doesn't matter. Your regular season does not matter one iota. All that matters is just can you play in these games?
Right.
And you know, it doesn't matter. You can be the worst team in the league going into an SEC tournament and win the SEC tournament. It doesn't matter. It does not matter except for can you play in these games?
Right. That's exactly right.
And you see that in the NFL a lot, mainly because there's so much parity in that league. And you see it to almost no extent in the NBA because of the 7-game series format. But in college baseball, in the best of three, you'll get upsets.
Yeah.
And you'll get teams that really, like Auburn, really aren't a top 25 team from the regular season because they didn't have the resume for a top 25 team.
Yeah.
But right now, they're top eight, bare minimum, top eight.
Team. Yeah, definitely. And
this season for baseball really does parallel the basketball season. Oh, I mean, maybe not with the beginning of the season projections.
Right.
But outside of that, it's like, well, you're pretty good out of conference, you know, had a good ranking.
Nerd got into average.
Nerd thought they were average. Not gonna lie, guys, both teams, he was kinda off the bus.
It's funny that with baseball, I'm more optimistic about baseball than I am any other sport. And it may be because I'm not as deep into it as I am with
basketball.
You're
not as live and die with it. Yeah.
Like I'm more, even when everybody was like, oh, this is, I don't know. I'm just like, yeah, we're still in the postseason. Right. Like,
yeah, but it seemed like, you know, we got into conference play and there was just a really bad cold streak. And then they hit it.
We had injuries too. And what's weird about it is it's not exactly like we got Owen back, but you know, we didn't
Davis
really.
Daniels out for the year.
Davis Daniels.
Essentially a reliever at this point.
Yeah, he's a
he's an opener.
Opener. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And our pitching is completely different than what it was at the beginning of the year.
Right.
But we're pretty deep and we have a pretty deep rotation right
now. I think that speaks a lot to what Butch has done with the program. I mean, he's a pitching coach at heart.
Right.
He was, you know.
Well, pitching is what wins you these games. Like,
right. Before he came to Auburn, he was at Mississippi State, and he was, you know, the assistant coach in the country, basically.
Yeah.
He was the pitching coach.
I mean, he won the National Assistant of the Year or whatever.
Right. So you really do see that mark on the Auburn pitching staff where, you know, they were struggling early in the year, and he was putting trust in some young guys. Mm. Kind of get them some experience, put them in the fire, and it's showing off now. So.
Yeah, and Auburn's not being carried by freshmen, but kind of being carried by freshmen and sophomores on this team.
Right.
And yeah, it's a fun team to watch, and it's similar to basketball in that respect. It's a fun team to watch, team that cares about one another, it genuinely seems to like being on the same team as each other, and has characters like Bull. You know, you have guys like that you can kind of be a fan of.
Yeah.
You know.
Edouard
Julien. We have, you know, the French-speaking Canadian.
The Canadian crusher.
He's probably loving this Raptors series against the Warriors right now.
Is he? I don't know. Maybe he is.
All of Canada's all about it.
Are they?
Yeah.
This is in Ontario, so it's not Quebec.
It's right. He's a Quebecois. He might not even like anything Canadian. He might be
They don't have a hockey team to pull for right now, so.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, he wasn't great at English when he moved here, so he really might be.
He might have a militant Quebecois and like not want anything to do with Canada. Ryan, that would be a wild situation. Like having a Catalan on our team as well.
French nationalist.
Yeah.
Separatist. That's what they are. Right?
A separatist. An individual state for Quebec.
So is Quebec like the Texas of Canada?
Yes. Quebec. Quebec is the...
Except not as cool.
It's Quebec is
right,
the...
Right. Essentially, they wish they were their own state.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And similar to Bavaria in Germany. And
they have their own language.
Scotland in the UK and Catalan in the...
Ireland.
Catalan is probably the closest.
Yeah, I would say.
Because Catalan is like voted to not be part of Spain on multiple occasions. And Spain keeps saying it doesn't count.
It's really, yeah.
No. Just kidding. That doesn't work.
They really don't want to be part of Spain. It's a odd situation.
Well, they're kind of carrying, just not to get into geopolitical things, they're kind of carrying the nation of Spain. So
that's why
Spain doesn't really want it. But they have their own language and they probably
it's sort of Spanish, but it's
they have the better soccer team. in a lot of ways.
They got Roberto Martinez.
I knew we were going to get the soccer.
And they got Lionel Messi.
Crow.
Yeah, man.
The schedule got released.
Thank you, Ryan. I almost forgot.
Man.
Can't let you forget about that,
man. Auburn University soccer schedule got released.
Finally. Crow's been anxious. He's been waiting for
this. I've been upset because I know the first game was coming up. And I was like, okay, guys, the first game's coming up, yet we don't even know who we're playing or where or when.
How is Crow supposed to tailgate for these games if he doesn't know where they're at?
How am I supposed to plan my travel if I don't know where to go? I know we open in, I'm looking it up right now. I know that we open in August. Right here. Here we go. They got Briefaldinho on the poster.
No.
Why wouldn't
of course they do.
Is there senior year?
I don't think so. I think he's a junior.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Kennesaw State away. We going to that one, guys? 13th of August?
You know what?
Is there a Braves game going on at the same time?
Let's make a trip out
Kennesaw
of
State, 6 p.m. away. Then, on the 16th, we're hosting the Mercer Bears out of Macon, Georgia.
Huh.
Now, we don't play another home game until the 5th of September.
Jeez.
College soccer is bizarre. So, that's going to be a theme of next fall shows. College soccer is bizarre. Auburn soccer plays USF on the 22nd. Florida Gulf Coast on the 25th of August. And then Chief goes to the Georgia tournament to play Maryland and Virginia Tech on the 30th of August.
It's called the Georgia tournament?
That's what it says, Georgia tournament. I don't know if Georgia's hosting it or if it's just in Georgia.
Just the state of Georgia tournament?
Maybe it's in the nation of Georgia.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But all I know is that VT and Maryland are really good soccer programs, traditionally. Mm. Maryland especially. That's a soccer school. So that's a huge early season test for our girls. Yes.
There is a Braves game that night.
On the 13th?
On the 13th of August.
So
playing the Mets.
What time is the Braves game?
At, let's see, 7:20.
Okay, the Auburn soccer game's at 6.
Oh.
So we could go to the
soccer game. Well, is that 6 Central?
6 Eastern. Well, actually, I don't know. It could be all
time. It's probably in Central time.
All right. Guys, there might be a College and Mag, Orange and True meetup, doubleheader, little baseball, little soccer and baseball.
I don't know if those will be at the same time.
Yeah, we'll work something out.
You have free Braves tickets to give us.
Yeah, or soccer tickets.
Or soccer tickets.
The 5th of September, we host Syracuse, then Troy.
Remember the 5th of September?
Guys, we got Syracuse, Troy, Southern Miss, and Samford all in a row, all at home. And I think the 5th and 8th, Syracuse and Troy, that's around a football game weekend, I believe.
The 5th is, it's the Thursday before the opening weekend.
Yeah,
which is in Atlanta. Oh, wait.
No, sorry. It's because the first game is August 31st.
So you could come in town on Thursday, see us play Syracuse in our
home. Stick around
for the first game of the football season against Tulane.
And then go see another.
And then go see us play Troy on the 8th.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
I wonder who Everton's playing that day.
What a day that would be, guys.
What is this, the 5th of September?
Yeah, and if Dortmund's got a game, you can hang out at the East Alabama Dortmund Club, which is yet to be determined as to where that's going to be.
I forgot to ask our...
You haven't moved into your new house yet.
No, it's true. That's probably going to be the location of the East Alabama Dortmund Club. Seriously. Not happy about that. All right. Then we get into SEC play, and we'll talk about that at a later date. But right now, the most important thing is that we are less than 3 months away from competitive soccer on the plains.
Yeah.
August 16th is...
less than 2 months from season opener, right?
And as everyone knows, this is a soccer podcast.
This is a soccer podcast first and foremost. And in the fall, we talk a little bit of Auburn football when we have to.
So to close then, if this is a soccer podcast, you guys know better than me. It's the Women's World Cup time.
Oh man. The USA whip USA. That's who we're picking.
Women.
The women. The USA women.
Whoa.
Man, that's two dropped phones on this
That's
pod.
Not a phone. That's an instant phone.
Ooh.
Are you alive?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. And with that, we're ghosts.
Bonos.